Y'all better put him in the Heisman.
Got that award right here, baby.
This is the Bud Light Seltzer Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light Seltzer, for those anytime easy drinking occasion.
Guys, I've been listening to y'all since this show aired.
When I turn on the Morning Rush, I want to hear Ty at his best every single day.
There are people that have saved up all year and done whatever it took just to get a ticket, just to get a glimpse at the Razorback.
Ty, fortunately, has saved the world and not yet procreated.
This is the Bud Light Seltzer Morning Rush Podcast.
So kind of your initial thoughts when you saw the SEC announce that practice is going to be pushed back starting next week, August the 17th?
Mild surprise. I mean, nothing catches you off guard anymore. So this didn't floor me or surprise me, Ty. But,
and I say next week, it's the following Monday.
Right, because it was supposed to have been this Friday, so they pushed it back 2 weeks to the 17th. That's a long time. If you think about it, they'd put the pads on as scheduled. That's a long time, as we were talking about with Tom Murphy yesterday, for a 7-week camp. That's a lot of contact and a lot of hitting. I'm not sure that's the concern. I don't think that's what administrators were worried about, is, boy, that's a lot of time to be popping pads. I think the concern is still making sure they're managing and containing the virus, and how, and they got all the safety measures and sanitizing and protocols and keeping players and staff safe. I mean, we think about player safety and not having outbreaks amongst teams. I think there's just as much concern with staff who are in their 50s and 60s and at ages that are more in the risk group for age, that is concerning to administrators. So I think that's part of it, and I still think that no one really knows what's going to happen when you welcome back students, and there's, even if it's 50% of your normal student population that's on campus, there is still this great concern about the unknown of that. And we've heard from Hunter Yurecek, I don't know how much this plays into it, but they still don't want to put players through the grueling task of practice. I almost said two-a-days. They don't have two-a-days, but practice.
All camp, yeah.
And camp. In the heat of the, and the tax and the grind it puts on you to ultimately not have a season. So I think there's a lot of things that I think meld into this pot of decision to push this back. And 2 more weeks when you got 7 to play a game kind of keeps you closer to the schedule you would have had. I think this ultimately lines up with where you would be on a timeline in relation to September 26th to what you would normally be to, say, a September 5th start date, which would have put you starting this Friday.
We've talked about the pressures that have faced athletic directors and administration, but how about having the pressure of being on the medical guidance task force and the different questions that you're probably asked, the different expectations that people probably have with your decisions? I mean, that's a position, that is a job that, I'll tell you what, I do not want right now. I mean, that is a difficult thing. Again, we talk about kind of the school side of things, but as far as the medical side goes and trying to predict all this, it seems even more difficult.
Well, and if you're in that spot, isn't it easier just to err on the side of caution? I mean, if you're trying to make the decision from a medical standpoint, not a football, not a financial, not any of those considerations that people like Joseph Steinmetz and Hunter Yurecek are trying to decide, or Greg Sankey, probably the way to go is more cautious.
Yes.
And that's a tough, you're right, that's an absolutely difficult spot to be, because you're going to take away an opportunity for someone that might be their only spot, their only opportunity, just based on the timing. You say, well, there's always next year. Well, is there? You know, I mean, you think there is. Perhaps there is. But that's just not always the way it is.
And I think that's an excellent point. People have pointed out, oh, you can just delay this year or whatever. Well, we don't know what's going to happen in the next year. I'm not trying to scare anyone or anything, but I'm just talking about from the standpoint that it seems like people are just, for whatever reason, say, oh, I'll just delay it. It's whatever. It's fine. It's whatever. But again, there are a lot of things, as many of you know, that can change over the course of 1 year. So that's, I think, a flawed line of thinking when it comes to that. So the question now becomes, hey, so what can they do between now and August 17th? Well, the SEC also laid that out. Between August 7th and 16th, schools are permitted to conduct up to 14 hours per week of strength and conditioning, meetings, and walkthroughs. But it doesn't look like the contact is supposed to start. And as you mentioned, I'm curious of how much a spike we'll see on college campuses when kids come back. You mentioned that you expect, or maybe not expect, but even if there was half the amount of enrollment in Arkansas, undergrad's about 28. It's gotten up to 28,000 at the U of A. If that was 14,000, there's still going to be parties, still going to be syllabus week. There's still going to be contact between multiple students. And this idea that the student-athletes, not just football players, but athletes across the state, in Fayetteville predominantly itself, the idea that they're just going to skip out on these as a whole. Like, you might have 95% of them. You might have 90% of them. But there are going to be 1 or 2, 3 or 4, 5 to 10, whatever, that decide, you know what, I've been cooped up long enough. I'm going to go do this. And you know what? I don't blame them for that. I've said that. Like, it is a difficult time to be a college-age student, not just in college, but in this age group, and to be cooped up and told you can't socialize in the most social part of your life. So this idea that it's on them and that they should get blamed for this is just plain stinking wrong.
Well, it's hard enough to be an adult and not do that. I mean, you know, if we see it in movies and we hear about it in life, you know, they put you in solitary confinement if you're in prison, right, as a punishment. To take away what? Why do they put you in solitary confinement?
Communication.
Socialization. You know, it's a punishment. So, I mean, I don't want to say we've all been put in solitary confinement, but it's kind of a smaller version of that, what's gone on the last four months. I mean, but the point is, you can't expect people of all ages, but particularly 18 to 21-year-olds, 22-year-olds, to go forever. Now, let's just say that we live in a utopian world and every student athlete's going to avoid parties and follow the rules, but the rules say you go to class, right? The rules still say, even if you do the social, you're not going to avoid it on a campus, because even if there's this general student population is going to be coming back, even if there were no parties, and all, it's still going to be inevitable. It may not be as bad if all the parties and all the fraternization and the socialization was nil, which is not reality. You're still going to have issues. I mean, that's just what the medical facts of the last few months tell us, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, exactly right. And so when August 17th starts, until the opening game, schools are allowed 25 practices with a limit of 20 hours per week of practice time. So we'll be keeping an eye on that. Unfortunately, we won't be able to actually get our eyes, most likely, on what's occurring on the practice field.
And it's 14 hours the next 2 weeks? Did I read that correctly?
Like,
I think
that's right. Yeah,
for the practice time.
Yeah, the strength and conditioning. That's what I was talking about.
Right, so the next 2 weeks is 14 hours.
You're listening to the Bud Light Seltzer Morning Rush Podcast. Try the new Bud Light Lemonade, a light and flavorful beer for those easy drinking occasions.
The crowd's into it. They just threw him out of the game. He's gotten his second technical, and he's been thrown out of the ballgame.
Bringing in Kevin McPherson now. Kevin, we were just discussing Arkansas electing to vote in the 35-second shot clock for the 22-2023 season. Now, it's already going to be implemented in the 6A by then, but just kind of your initial thoughts to when you saw this news break earlier this week.
Well, it's overdue. I mean, Arkansas basketball, it has come in so far. And if you look back at the last decade, the players, the level of talent that's coming out of the state to feed into the high major level and really all levels of Division One, Arkansas has made a lot of strides in terms of the quality and the culture in basketball. But without a shot clock, and we've seen a lot of states move to it, and I get to travel and watch a lot of different basketball in different places, it's a big difference at that level. And I think it promotes, it furthers players' skill level in dealing with situations with no shot clock. It's not just about boring basketball. I think it also stymies the progress of players and their development, because you don't really have to do a whole lot if you're standing there and you know, milking the clock down, and guys are standing around, and it's just not, you know, it does not promote the game, and I don't think it promotes development in the game. So I think it's a great idea. It's long overdue.
Kevin, when you look at this Arkansas basketball team, they got some major news when Isaiah Joe announced his return over the weekend. I know that a lot of players are excited. I know that you've got inside sources talking about what's going on in these in the training camp. Just kind of your biggest takeaways with what you've heard so far this last week or so when it comes to what's been happening with Arkansas basketball inside those practices.
Yeah, I mean, getting Isaiah Joe back is, you're getting a pro, you know, I call it a five-star recruiting win for Eric Musselman. He doesn't look at it as recruiting, but at the end of the day, you know, a guy that could have gone and taken a paycheck is coming back to play for you. So you're doing something right inside those doors for him to want to come back. And then the big takeaway really is he was absent the first couple of weeks. You've had a couple of guys that we know now have been injured, J.D. Notte, Bebe Iliola. Those guys have been out. But the takeaways for who's on the court, you know, a guy like Vance Jackson, they put him on the court this past week and let him, you know, work a little bit in that point forward spot that Mason Jones made famous in the SEC last year because his versatility and, at the end of the day, the ability to have a prolific scoring season, you know, unlike any that's been around in the SEC in 30 years. I'm not saying Vance Jackson's going to do that, but 6'9", pushing 240, we knew he was bringing perimeter skill, the ability to knock down threes, find little creative ways to drive down and get into, you know, scoring position in the paint in different places in the mid-range. And so, you know, if he's on the ball out on the floor at 6'9", 240, that's a matchup nightmare if he's able to actually, that translates to the season. So they looked at, that was a look they had. Everything I've heard about Justin Smith, the 6'7 grad transfer from Indiana, not only a big leaper, but his effort day to day, he's a guy that's going to make a difference. He put up career numbers last year at Indiana, nothing spectacular, you know, over 30 minutes, 10 points, 5 rebounds, but a guy I think Arkansas will be able to count on. And that 48-inch vertical leap is, you know, that's elite. I mean, that's as good as it gets, basically. And so that's a guy that can not only finish in transition the way that fans is going to bring fans out of the seat, but I think it's a guy that's going to be able to have some versatility defending perimeter inside. So those are some of the big takeaways on some of the newcomers. You know, Connor Vanover at 7'3", he's a guy that when we got to see him in practice last year, and you may remember this, Ty, you know, when the drill part of the work, he doesn't necessarily stand out, but when you get into the live competition stuff, 3-on-3, 5-on-5, he starts to come alive. You know, he was impressive in Arkansas's red-white game. His only real game action with fans in the seats last year. Thought he had a good game there. Hit about like 3 threes, 15 points. But I just think overall, when you start piecing together the newcomers, and then that includes those freshmen, Moses Moody, Jalen Williams, K.K. Robinson, Devontae Davis, hearing good things about all those guys. Jalen Tate, the 6'6 grad transfer that's going to be that Jimmy Witt role defensively and kind of be a slasher and a combo guard on offense and bring the ball up some. I just think when you look at the collective unit, it stacks up for a team that can get back to the NCAA tournament. And then you put Isaiah Joe in there with the other veteran that's been around for a while, Desi Seals, another double-figure scorer, by the way. I think Arkansas's got the pieces to be deserving of some of these way-too-early top 25s. And the potential later, I think, and I've written about this, to maybe be a top 15 kind of a team that could potentially make a run in that NCAA tournament beyond the second weekend, beyond the first weekend into a second weekend, which would be, if they did that, a first in 25 seasons.
Yeah, in a league that's going to be loaded and nationally really good this year. You listed a lot of pieces there. You named a lot of players. We've been kind of kicking around potential lineups this year. I'm of the belief the lineups may change based on who you're playing, that there may be as many as 10 players that see to see significant playing time this year. Who do you think are the two or three maybe absolute starters? I think like an Isaiah Joe, maybe a Moses Moody will be, you know, game in, game out starters. How do you see a lineup getting constructed? Do you think it's going to be more of a game-to-game thing, or do you think there will be five players that will be more night-in, night-out guys for Eric Musselman?
Well, that's actually a key question. And Musselman's track record is a top 7 or 8 rotation. So that makes you tend to think that he's going to stick with a top 7 or 8, identify those early in camp. That's how he does it. And we saw some dynamics change on that even last year because Arkansas was so thin on that front line and they had injuries. So we saw a guy like Ethan Henderson. We saw times where it was Reggie Chaney. And typically those guys were kind of the 8th and 9th men, but they even found, you know, at different times their minutes and their roles increased. So I think with this team, you've got so much versatility, and not, it's the biggest Arkansas team. I don't remember the last time Arkansas had so much height and length. Mm-hmm. I think collectively, skill-wise, this is going to be the best 3-point shooting and passing team. Those are things that lend themselves to Musselman's professed, you know, speed and space offense. So I think there's so much versatility in that lineup. I think he's got a lot of options that could bring starter value. So to answer your question, I'm not sure he's going to get outside of a top 7 or 8, but through the season, I think we might see 10 or 11 guys that move in and out of that rotation. Some of it based on matchups and personnel, some of it based on opportunity and development. Most certain guys might pass others. But at the end of the day, I think your Isaiah Joe is obviously a day one starter. I think a Moses Moody probably should be. We'll see. He's got to earn that. And then I look at Desi Sills as a guy with starter value. Whether he comes off the bench in a six-man role or actually moves back into that starting lineup, I think he's a guy that's going to bring that kind of value. And those three grad transfers guys, they didn't come here to sit. Those guys are going to play significant roles. You know, you'll probably hear all three of those guys named in that starting lineup often, you know, at least having big roles if they're playing somewhat off the bench. And then guys like Connor Vanover and J.D. Notay, you set out last year, all we've heard are good things, and I think those guys are going to play significant roles as well.
You know, you could see last year, Kevin, that the frustration of having the lack of size, you know, having to watch Vanover sit on the bench, not having players over 6'9" available to Eric Musselman. He's going to, I think, relish and use that size in one or two spots and probably two spots as often as possible, just because he remembers what last year was like and having to go small so often, not having a lot of guys over 6'8" on the floor. So I'm sure he's devising a lot of plans to utilize the size that he all of a sudden has compared to last year's team.
Yeah, and let's look at it this way. Musselman likes to play a lot of two-man game. Out front, we saw Mason Jones and Isaiah Joe actually setting screens and playing two-man game with each other. Then Isaiah Joe got hurt. We saw even, you know, Adriel Bailey and Jalen Harris in that role trying to help Mason get screens and play off of that. You've got a huge talent, skill, and size influx upgrade when you don't have Adriel Bailey and Jalen Harris, but you've guys got guys like Connor Vanover, Vance Jackson, Justin Smith. You've got different types of guys that bring different things to the table that can finish a shot. So it doesn't have to be your best scorer that you've got to rely on to take shots as much now. It could be anybody. And I think they're really going to play a lot of space the floor and a lot of five out. Even with all that size, they're going to be able to do that. Then they're going to also be able to go inside. People don't always realize Connor Vanover is a tough shot maker in the mid post.
Working on that sky hook, Kevin.
He's working on the sky hook. And look, defensively, he's a good volume shot blocker for the minutes he gets. And on top of that, who's counting? Where's the statistic on how many shots he alters and is going to alter? 7'3" with that length? Mm-hmm. He doesn't have to be quick of foot necessarily when he's playing inside. He's just got to turn. You know, if he turns toward a guy, he's going to change their shot just by raising his arms.
Kevin McPherson with us here on the Morning Rush. Kevin, we haven't heard much chatter about the 2021 basketball recruits. I know there's some guys that they missed out on their top 8, top 6, or whatever. We know the 2022 in-state class is loaded, but what have you been hearing as far as 2021 recruits that may or may not commit to Arkansas as of late?
Well, you know, a week ago I wrote a story about coaches around the country, including Arkansas, needing to possibly be more deliberate in recruiting because of the absence of live evaluation in the spring and summer. You know, that's really my thrive time of year covering high school and grassroots basketball, because that's the evaluation time, and there's been no live eval. So to answer your question, Musselman in his press conference Monday sort of validated what I wrote a week ago. Look, Arkansas is going to take things have changed because of the pandemic. They're probably going to go a little slower. Having said that, you look at the roster, we know there's three grad transfers leaving. Due to natural attrition in college basketball, you can probably double that number, 5 or 6 guys by the end of the year that you're replacing. And I think, where are the areas of the biggest concern? Jalen Tate, 6'6", going to be gone, backcourt player. Isaiah Joe, probably going to get back in the draft and stay there next time, 6'5", perimeter player. Moses Moody, could be Arkansas's first one and done. We don't want to jump ahead too far, maybe not, but another big guard, 6'6". So I think Arkansas is looking at big guards right now, and if you look at guys like James White, 6'5", out of Conyers, Georgia, you look at Chance Moore, who, by the way, is going to visit Fayetteville with his dad this weekend, a top ESPN top 44 national guy, another 6'5 guard out of Georgia. And you look at – so there's some big guards and wings that Arkansas is looking at 2021. And then when I'm looking at the front line, And you're going to, we just talked about the versatility of Vance Jackson and Justin Smith. You know, the interesting piece with new associate head coach David Patrick and his ties to Australia and all the great recruiting he's done there in the past, guys like Patty Mills and Ben Simmons, you start looking at Australia, there's a couple of versatile combo forwards that are in the 6'9 to 6'11 range, David Okwara and a guy, a Cole Mawane, who I just wrote about in a story yesterday, that played here in Central Arkansas at Southwest Christian Academy. I got to cover him for a couple of seasons. A guy that had a really good year last year at Navarro College, junior JUCO in Texas. So keep an eye on those guys, that Australia connection, because David Patrick's had a lot of success with that, and I think he's already starting to kind of move pieces around the board to maybe set Arkansas up with bringing in players that he's had success with, the kind of players he's had success with out of his home country in the past.
I want to pair something together. You said earlier, you're talking about the 7-8 player rotation that Musselman has traditionally liked. And then the thought or the idea that I think is reality, that you could have a shortened college basketball season. We've already seen Division II basketball shorten the season from 30 to 22 games. The idea that you could play only conference games, I think, is a real reality that we could be facing. We know you're long on juniors this year. You got an incoming freshman class. Could you see this program maybe utilizing or using some red shirts this year with players in order to maneuver some players around with their years? How do you think they'll maybe handle that if you have a severely shortened season due to the pandemic?
Yeah, that's another great question, because of all the unprecedentedness, that's not a word, but everything is new for everybody.
Right.
Players coming in now, these high school players don't expect a redshirt. They see themselves as having a short path to the next level. And when you've got four top 100 guys that made up a top five national class, according to ESPN, it's going to be hard to have that conversation with one of those guys, but they may have to do that. There's other players on the roster, if you look at it, that could potentially be a candidate for something like that, especially when you've had some injuries. So, but both of those injuries so far are guys that sat out last year. So it's a Musselman's in a spot there, but you're right. If it depends on how much they squeeze down this season, there could be potential to say, hey, guy, look, you're not going to get the most out of this season. We've got less time to, you're not necessarily in this top 7-8 rotation as it is, and now we've got fewer games. Maybe let's take a look at this. So I think that's a great question, especially with how Musk plays his rosters. That would maybe be a built-in reason to help convince somebody that let's take a year off here.
Kevin, as we let you go with this, man, Kentucky came into Fayetteville last year. Unfortunately, the Razorbacks lost a heartbreaker and kind of couldn't close it out down the stretch. This upcoming season, I think in the past decade, the Wildcats and the Razorbacks have only played twice in a season, and that was and just once, and that was back in 2014. Kind of based on what's going on, how bad do you think Razorback fans, and particularly those players and that coaching staff, wants another shot at Kentucky in Bud Walton Arena with this current roster?
Yeah, I mean, I think it would be, just like it was last year, it brought back memories of the mid-90s, but you had all the students and fans outside just gathered in throngs. You remember that atmosphere, Ty, you were there. Mm-hmm. And I think that it's the whole thing, it's the pageantry, it's Kentucky. But it's also, Arkansas had a good enough team to beat Kentucky last year, they almost did. The problem was Isaiah Joe, that was one of the games he played in injured. And I think that really, when you go back and look at those 11 games, five playing hurt, we didn't know how hurt he really was, but we figured that out because he missed six games because he had to have a procedure. Arkansas struggled 3-8. One of those losses was Kentucky, a game they could have won with a hobbled Isaiah Joe. And we just said it. Arkansas didn't have a lot of height and size. They didn't have a lot of depth. You get those guys back in Bud Walton Arena this coming season, I think the excitement level, as great as it was last year, I don't know how it could get better, but I imagine it would be. Now, we know the pandemic is going to squeeze off likely what crowds would look like and things like that. But that doesn't mean that excitement won't be generated. And I promise you, Eric Musselman going to figure out a way to get the entire state somehow involved in some sort of celebration, even if it's in their own homes as a lead up to that game.
And you bring up an excellent point. We'll top off the interview with this. Imagine, this is the most highly anticipated team, and some would say since the 90s. Imagine not being able, not because you can't sell the tickets, but because everything going around the world right now, imagine telling fans that, hey, you can't go to this game, yeah. even though this team's top 25, even though they're playing Kentucky.
You're playing a lot of top 10 teams.
Yeah, yeah. Even though the SEC is as loaded as it's going to be, Kevin, you can't fill up the arena even though you want to more than anything.
And listen, Bud Walton Arena, when things are when Arkansas's got a good team, even when they're down, if you get good crowds in Bud Walton Arena, it's worth three or four possessions for you, 6 to 8 points. And so that factors in, too, to how good you can be. And you're going to be in some tight games or spots where you need that crowd's energy. Yeah, so from a fan standpoint, that's going to be tough. I think for the team, you know, they feed off that kind of energy. People know Arkansas's got one of the best, you know, basketball crowds in college basketball. And when things are rolling and that place is filled up, it makes a big difference. So there are many ways to look at that and say, man, thanks, coronavirus. I mean, really, you know, I don't want to be too playful about that. It's been hard on a lot of folks. But as far as sports go, it's going to be hard enough to get on the court. Once you do, then you've got those factors that play in that are still, you realize things aren't normal.
Yeah. Kevin, appreciate your time as always, man. We'll talk whenever we talk to you next, dude.
Good to be with you guys. Thank you.
You're listening to the Bud Light Seltzer Morning Rush Podcast. Try the new Bud Light Lemonade, a premium light lager brewed with real lemonade.
He does a tightrope act. Boy, Houdini's in the house. We're number three, and nobody's home to watch that house. Touchdown, Hogs! Holy Hog!
Welcome back into the Morning Rush. Want to go to the phone lines and welcome in Mike Golic Jr. of ESPN Radio. Mike, I was going to say Golic and Wingo, but man, you got a new show coming up.
Yeah, no, Chenay and Golic Jr. is going to be a good time. It is a total lifestyle change for me. I go from doing a morning show, waking up at 4:30 Eastern every day and hanging out with my dad and Trey Wingo, who were awesome, and getting to do a show with my dad was a dream come true. I'll never top that. But now going into the afternoon, getting to sleep in and doing a show with someone who age-wise is a peer of mine is going to be a huge change for me, and certainly one that's exciting in a lot of ways.
You wake up about the same time I do. I got an alarm set for 4:20. I'm out of bed by 4:30. The adjustment. I know my sleep schedule on weekends, man, I can't sleep past 6 or 7. What do you think that adjustment is going to be like for your sleep schedule coming up?
You know what? It's going to be welcome. Like at this point at 30, I keep telling myself, you know, Dad for 22 years had his alarm go off at that same time. And while he's right, you never fully get used to it. For him, that it becomes so ingrained in his lifestyle at that point. You know, for me, that alarm's been going off like that, you know, and sometimes even earlier for the last 5 years. And so I feel like I hopefully have time to break the habit and maybe start having, you know, somewhat normal human hours in all this. But every day I've been off since the end of the show, I've still probably been up at 6:30 or 7 o'clock at the latest. And hell, I mean, like you said, based off our shared alarm, that feels like sleeping in already.
Talking with Mike Golic Jr. here of ESPN Radio. Mike, I know Arkansas fans were really excited about the potential to go to South Bend this upcoming season. Unfortunately, because of the coronavirus, it's not going to happen. Tell us about what a game day atmosphere is like in South Bend, Indiana.
It really is incredible. And we had the good fortune of getting to talk to Hunter Yurecek on Golic and Wingo a few times. And I think between him and Jack Swarbrick, there's enough shared desire to make this happen for everyone involved. I mean, it's why you put it on the schedule to begin with. And so for Notre Dame and Arkansas, two very well-known brands around college football, to get to do this would be awesome. South Bend is great because it's different, and I think it's really improved even since the stadium renovations happened. Obviously, you've got all of the history and prestige around campus. I always tell people to hit the main landmarks, go to the Dome, go to the Basilica, go to the Grotto, because that's exactly where I go. Back there, you know, I had buddies who would come up and play on other teams who would always say, if you're not careful, you could hear the ghosts. And a lot of people and a lot of coaches will warn their players about that coming up, because you don't want to let the folklore, you don't want to let all the history be the thing that distracts you from going up there and trying to play a football game. But as a fan, to get to take all that in, and now with what they've done in the stadium, the Jumbotron, the game day atmosphere that's helped curate, it's all turned it into something that holds on to the tradition of Notre Dame while providing that modern atmosphere. Looking at the stadium itself is kind of a great example of that, because from the outside, they always made sure from the outside of the stadium that you can see through to the original brick stadium on the inside before the renovation that took place in the 90s and before the renovation that took place now. So so you can always have a direct line of sight to the literal house that Rockne built.
You were talking about with Jack Swarbrick, the Notre Dame athletic director, and Hunter Yurecek, the Arkansas athletic director, when hopefully we eventually make our way up north, up to Indiana. I've been told Rocco's. I've been told the linebacker. Where do I have to go that weekend to go eat or drink?
Yeah, I think those are going to be two of the heavy hitters right there, certainly. The linebacker is sort of the bar of choice for all Notre Dame alumni. If you're looking for maybe some of the student experience, CJ's and Finney's might offer you that downtown, but I would say the linebacker is tried and true. It is Notre Dame Americana and all that. Rocco's is the pizza of choice around that area, certainly. I would also say, like, right in that same vein, O'Rourke's is right next to campus, and it's a little bit newer, but it's an Irish pub, and it's done a really good job of becoming a real staple of the game day atmosphere around Notre Dame and in the time leading up to that one, though. So I would say all of those, you really can't go wrong in that area. Legends on campus might have a sandwich on the menu named after the Golic family, so I'm always willing to publicly endorse that one, but there really are some nice spots there, and they've made a lot of them within walking distance to campus, which is awesome, or stumbling if you're going to the linebacker.
Mike Golic Jr., ESPN Radio, with us on the Morning Rush. Mike, there is a lot of different experiences that you can take in a Notre Dame football game. You had the opportunity as a college football player to go to multiple different venues. If you had to pick another venue that you think stands out amongst the rest, what is it, Mike?
You know, I had a great time, and we were super fortunate. Notre Dame had a home-and-home against Oklahoma that started my fifth-year senior year. And so we got to go down and play at Norman. It was a night game. College game day was there. We were both highly ranked at the time. You know, it was Landry Jones and Kenny Stills were the real studs on that offense at that point in time. Bob Stoops had lost like five home games in his entire career. The whole place is striped in their colors. Fireworks at kickoff and everything. It helps that we went down there and beat them pretty good, but I just remember thinking what a unique game day atmosphere that was, what a great job they did of creating an environment that was hostile. I remember that first third down, having a look at the guys next to me, having a look at Braxton Cave, our center, and ask a couple of times for the snap count on that one and try and make sure we had all that buttoned up for that first blitz package on third down that I might have given up a pressure on. So I thought they did a really good job of that in a place that we didn't get to play but once when I was there, but left a really great impact.
I'm curious, when you hear the words Arkansas football, now this past decade hasn't really been kind, especially the latter half of the decade. Mike, what first pops into your mind when you hear the term Razorback football?
Hog mollies. Like, you think, I think a lot of the remnants of like Brett Bielema and the stuff that, like, just that ethos of, you know, the hog on the side of the helmet, but big, powerful offensive linemen. I think underrated quarterback play, too, when you talk about both Allens. Like, I think in that instance, I know that the fan base was pretty critical of them during their time period there, but I thought those were guys that produced probably better than they got credit for there, certainly had to deal with a lot in their time as quarterbacks there. But, you know, Arkansas struggled as of late. That's a program that's trying to really figure out and get its way going forward in a lot of that. So I think from a national perspective, they've got a long way to go in all that one, but they've certainly had great brand recognition purely with the mascot and the size of their linemen going into this one, and I think they would probably be shooting for a little more than that going forward.
Mike, I want to talk to you about offensive line play coming up as we close out, but you bring up the Allen brothers. Brandon got his truck burned down. What is the worst thing that happened to you during your playing days at Notre Dame? Did anyone, like, cause any disruptive behavior to some of your personal item? He got his truck burned down, man.
Yeah, that always stuck out to me as pretty insane in a lot of this for a quarterback that was doing pretty well on a bad team, all things considered. But I never had anything like that. Like, unfortunately, college football does have that seedy underbelly. I had quarterbacks on our team that got death threats after bad games. Jeez. And stuff like that. Like, at certain times, people forget what we're watching is a game and no one is going to die based off the outcome. But it does feel like that. But, oh, yeah, I remember that with the car and everything that went along with it. So hopefully we're past that now. Like, as we turn the page and get ready to start the Sam Pittman era of all this, like, I'm hopeful that we can, you know, all kind of go along with his general ethos. Like, Sam, you know, just in following and watching the Georgia offensive line and that program for so many years, seems like as good a guy as you're going to find, and certainly someone that it is, at the very least from the hog molly perspective that I'm associated with, someone that I think has a pretty good future ahead of him. So let's not light any cars on fire now.
You bring up Sam Pittman. As a former offensive lineman, Sam Pittman is regarded as one of the best in the country, if not the best in the country, when it comes to that position group. What takeaways do you have from him with his so many former players moving on to the NFL? And what do you think we can expect from Sam Pittman and the trenches at Arkansas?
Yeah, so I think certainly with any offensive line coach as your head coach, attention to detail is going to be there because the position is such a foreign skill set, right? Everything else in football outside of defensive back play and offensive line play is a natural skill set. We all grew up running, tackling, throwing, doing stuff like that, but backpedaling and blocking and all of the things associated with pass protection are a learned skill. So attention to detail for O-line coaches, especially one the caliber of Sam you mentioned, the job he did churning out pros at Georgia. I always said, even if you're not a former offensive lineman and you want to watch and you see the same things across the board, when you see guys putting their hat and hands in the same spot consistently regardless of position, when the steps look like they're in unison, that always points back to coaching, when you can get five guys to buy into what you're telling them. And Sam and those Georgia offensive lines were always such a consistent product, even before you had first-round talent like you have in the last couple of years with Isaiah Wynn and the tackles that they've put out there. And certainly the interior guys haven't been a slouch either. So I just think what he's been able to build there consistently with technique, which is the hardest thing to do as an offensive line coach, but they're always finishers of that unit. That was always a group that you knew was going to be downfield, diving over piles, trying to finish guys through the echo of the whistle. And when you're coming in and trying to reignite a program, those are the kind of things that get people fired up. When you see it put on tape, those are the kind of things that even as the team struggles in the transition, he's going to be able to point to, the team's going to be able to rally around. And I think having those as the bedrock of a program is usually always a pretty good starting point.
Mike, last question before we let you go, man. Just your overall opinion on what happens with college football this season.
Unfortunately, we're going to have to deal with some of the problems Major League Baseball's dealt with, where you're probably going to see conferences have certain teams that are going to have to forfeit because of a rash of positive tests. You're going to see kind of an inconsistent conference slate. Since everyone's gone conference only, some teams are going to end up playing more games in conference than less based on where their conference lies geographically, where the surrounding spikes are, and based on, honestly, the resources of the schools in question. We've seen plenty of places, like we mentioned, Oklahoma, Notre Dame, and others who have a ton of resources to be able to test their players and staff often, having a good time so far being able to contain that. Getting students back on campus is going to be a wild card, but I think it's going to be choppy and inconsistent. I think they're going to fight like hell to finish it with the spring as the ultimate backup plan, fail-safe emergency. And I think it's going to give us, some version of a finish here, probably a champion that people will dispute if we get to that point. But you're going to have to be willing to kind of stomach a lot of change. All of us are, in the name of seeing if this thing gets off the ground.
Mike Golic Jr., ESPN Radio, new show coming out later this month. Mike, appreciate you making some time for us on the Morning Rush, man.
Nah, thanks for having me. Really appreciate it.
You're listening to the Bud Light Seltzer Morning Rush Podcast. Try the new Bud Light Lemonade with half the sugar and carbs of Mike's Hard.
A bright red Razorback caravan is headed to Nebraska, and this time we're coming for the whole damn thing.
CJ's Butcher Boy Burgers. When all you do is burgers, they have to be the best.
Now, don't overdo it today, and don't get anything on you because you're going to be talking to Madison on the phone at
excellent point.
About 4:30.
That's the rumor going on.
Don't overindulge and then not be in peak physical condition for your phone call today.
Yeah, that's an excellent point. So, Bill and Van Buren has texted in. It's a big day for Ty. Doug in Mount Home has texted in, said, I'm looking forward to 4:30. Are you?
Yeah.
For those just listening now.
Could be the biggest day of your life.
Could be the biggest day of my life. This is my beef on this day.
I'm a... Jenkins, are you worried? It might just be me and you on Monday. I mean, yeah. I'm a little...
It might be a new Morning Rush come Monday.
I mean, I don't know what might happen out of
this. I guarantee if she gives him the choice, come to Auburn.
We're out.
Me and you.
I think, it's funny. The wedding that I'm attending this weekend, the groom and bride are huge Bachelor fans. They're huge Madison's fans. Mm-hmm. So I think they would understand at the drop of the hat if I decided to skip the wedding.
Well, hang on. Do you have a date for the wedding?
Do I have a date for the wedding? That's an excellent point, too. So, and
well, you got to have these things figured out.
And it's in Tennessee, which is, I think, how close far to Auburn is, or Birmingham, wherever.
Yeah, I mean, that's not
I don't know
far.
If she's in Auburn or Birmingham right
well,
now.
Well, it's so, hop, skip, and a
jump.
You
got till 4:30 to figure these things
point.
Out.
Yes.
All right, so for those wondering what the heck me, Jenkins, and Tommy and our texters are talking about, if you haven't heard, Mr. Zach Arnes of Ruskin and Zach has apparently, and I say apparently because I'm still not 100% sure he's being factual and being truthful with me. He told me not only on FaceTime, through text, has addressed it several times on his show as of yesterday, that Madison Pruitt is coming on today at 4:30. For those wondering, who is Madison Pruitt? She was a part of The Bachelor this past season. Her dad is the director of basketball ops on the Auburn basketball program, and she might be the most beautiful girl in the entire world, which in turn is going to be a problem for me because I can talk to Darren McFadden. I can talk to Ken Hatfield. I can talk to legends that I either grew up watching, listening to, whatever. But when a cute girl is presented in front of me for the first time or for whatever, it typically doesn't go as well as some of these legendary interviews that we do on this station. You would think a guy that is as eloquent as this is standoff, and it's just as fantastic as I am when I do interviews on these sports radio, oh, that would translate to when he talks to girls. Not so much. Not the case. So
the confidence dissipates.
It dissipates quite quickly.
But
so,
I think you'll be good because it's a phone call.
And it's a phone call. Yeah, we're not looking face to face.
What would be even better is if this is a Zoom call. If she zooms in, my God.
We're not going to do that. So, and again,
I wouldn't put
Arnes past you. So I think the plan is we're going to live stream it.
She could FaceTime, right? I don't know if you could pass that. No, it probably is you. It's got to be through the phone system.
The phone system.
That doesn't work
that's
with
a good
our
point.
Technology.
So,
I didn't think about that.
Bill and Van Buren suggest
Arnes is probably a step ahead on that.
Yeah, that's a good point. Bill and Van Buren suggest I should slug some alcohol before the show, which is not a terrible idea. I will say.
It would be an FCC violation. You got to drive back here, too.
The show's 3 hours, so I can sober up by then. So it's liquid courage. I will say I'm better with liquid courage in my system than just being dead sober. But Madison.
Text from the 501, would you take her last name? That's a very good question.
Great question.
I think he would to get into that situation.
No. You'd sacrifice. Marriage is all about sacrifice, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So, again, but now we're really excited. And again, I'm not 100%. There's a good chance that Zach could be screwed. And, like, listen, my beef would be if all this was a ruse, if all this was a joke, if it did. Because, like, I wouldn't do that to Zach. Like, I wouldn't. If you heard his Faith Hill story yesterday, or you heard it for the first time, or if you've listened to it on their podcast, I would not set up an interview with Faith Hill only to stab him in the back and it not actually be Faith Hill. I would actually follow through. So they're a little part of me.
I think if you could, you would.
I would not do that to Zach because I know that's an emotional, painful part of his life. I would not. I promise I would not actually do that. So my beef is only going to be a beef if this interview doesn't happen today. I will immediately. I'll state for the record now, and I'll do it when we come on because I'm going to be on their show from 3 to probably 5 today, assuming this goes well. I will state as soon as if I hear Madison Pruitt's name or if I hear her voice on the other line, immediately say, "Hey, Madison, I got to do this real quick." I'm going to look directly in Zach's eyes and go, "Zach, I apologize." I'll just be straight up, dude, man to man. I apologize for not downing you. He'll get his hearty hars. He'll joke with me, and then we'll hopefully go on the interview. Because according to him, and according to Jason Carroll, they're not going to ask any questions. They might jab me from time to time, but it's all on me. I think I spent more time prepping on the interview yesterday than the entire show prep this morning. I text
Time out. You have show. You wait, hang on. You have a rundown for this today?
Yes. I'm not going to go into it.
Give us a sample question.
We need to preview this.
Throw us a bone here.
Saving it. Nope. It's getting saved till today because I'm not.
You seriously have something in Google Docs for this today?
Yes.
Why?
I have Google Docs every interview we do. Why would I change it up?
There's a big difference between Darren McFadden and Madison Pruitt for a Google Doc.
I'll give you an A+ for preparation.
You see the damn Google Docs every single time I do an interview, and this is like new to you.
But this is different. This is different.
You're right. It's bigger. This is a big interview.
You're right. There's more at stake for you. I didn't consider that.
There is more. I am more nervous about this interview today than when it was when I came and interviewed with this job. Period. I felt confident. I felt fine. I was like, I'm going to get this job, and I did.
Now, Jenkins, I'm not here tomorrow. I'm taking the day off tomorrow. So it,
I'll take care
of it. If this goes, I don't know how, I have no idea what's going on today.
I don't either.
Honest as I can be. So, big guy, it's on you.
I got it. I think the bad thing is
if we have a cleanup on aisle four, I'm not here to help you tomorrow, all right?
I think the bad thing is tomorrow.
It's on you and Clay.
I was going to say, that's the bad part, because if this goes bad, it's Clay Henry that he gets to soak his tears to tomorrow.
Yeah, that's not Clay's just going to have fun screwing with me. So, let's go through some of these texts. JT asks, over, under 4 minutes before Ty gets in the way at Ty?
Under. Way under.
I'll give you confidence, buddy.
Okay, so at least
I'll give you five.
I mean, I've got the questions prepped out. I've done my research.
Yeah, but
I've talked
your mouth
to some
has
Auburn
to
people.
Enter. It's kind of like, hey, they knew Treylon Burks last year was a playmaker. But somehow between the coach's conference room and the game film and the game in the field, they could not. They couldn't make it happen. So, you know, somehow your mouth might get in the way.
TW and Russell will ask if I'm going to ask Mike Golic Jr. for some Madison advice. I'll probably not. I will stick to that. Now, I've asked some Auburn fans. I asked my buddy that lived in Auburn. I asked family members. I asked some friends that watched The Bachelor. Just like various people, various sources yesterday. But listeners, if you have some advice or if you have a question you think I should ask, feel free to text them in. It's 877-377-6963. Jason texting. He says, don't tell her about liking ketchup on your steak.
Yes.
That conversation is probably not going to come up. So
that probably not only would put her out, but if her dad found out, you'd be done. Yeah.
Yeah, that would.
Because that's the other thing. You probably need to go back
and find all the podcasts that contain any conversations. This is one of those things that, you know, we talk about scrubbing your social media.
Mm-hmm.
When you do find the right woman, you probably need to scrub that part so her dad could never get a hold of it.
The ketchup on the steak?
The ketchup on the steak part.
Okay. I'll remember that.
Yeah, that might be
something to remove
when ask for the hand in marriage and he finds out about ketchup on the steak. That could be a no-go.
Okay. Derek from Fayetteville texts in. He says, I feel the same way about Madison as you do, Ty. I'm nervous for you, and I will have beef if it doesn't happen. Again, my only beef as of today is going to be if Zach is just completely screwing
me. He's pulled the rug out from
under you. Yeah,
I'm going to hurt for you.
I will be a straight up man and apologize before we get in the interview. Zach, I apologize for not believing that you were being truthful.
Listen,
to me. But if it goes the wrong way, then I honestly don't know what I'm going to do. It's going to be an entertaining 4:30 regardless if you're tuning in today to Ruskin and Zach.
I have a round of golf planned this afternoon, and I am. What time is this? 4:30?
4:30 is what?
I'm going to be somewhere near mid-back nine at that point, and I'm going to stop what we're doing to listen. We're going to tune in, hit that line.
Because you care about him.
Exactly. Yeah. I care about
Ty. You want the best for your boy.
I want the best for my boy. And, yeah, I mean, I don't want the last three holes to go bad.
It's either going to be
I don't want it to be a waste of my time either.
It's either going to be the greatest 20
minutes. I don't want to have to come back to do the show tomorrow if you're in pieces. I mean,
okay.
Do I need to take the stuff with me just in case?
I'll just throw the best.
I think
stuff
it's going to be you and Clay.
What's the overall goal for this? Are you just wanting to get to know Madison, or are we trying to put your cards on the table?
I have no idea. Like, Orange is wanting me to ask her out. I'm probably not going to put her on the spot. That's just that doesn't come across as something I would do. But
women like men to be forward.
Yeah, but forward face to face, not through text, not through a radio show. Orange is going to give me a hard time if I don't end up asking her out. And I probably am going to stay away from it. I'm going to stay away from the Bachelor stuff, stay away from that.
What if she calls the Hogs?
I'll give you one tidbit that I was going
to... She already has his heart. I don't know
that's
that she's
fair. That's
that
good
far.
Point.
I think that would take it over the top. Here's the one. Here's the one tidbit that I was going to ask, the bet I was going to place at the end of the show. Arkansas is going to play Auburn in basketball this year. The first game, the bet I was going to ask her is like, as we're closing out, hey, Madison, let's stop off the interview this. I got a bet for you. If Auburn beats Arkansas in the first basketball game of the season, I will wear all Auburn stuff during the show and do whatever their chant is. Do we know what their chant is? I know like Ole Miss is like flim flam, Ole Miss by whatever. Does Auburn have like a
War Eagle? They just walk around and they look at the War Eagle.
I'll say War Eagle once an hour or so. But the opposite end of that bet is Madison, if the Hogs win, you have to call the Hogs on video in front of Jordan Air Stadium in a Hog hat. Fair or foul?
Fair.
Like me during a whole show, 3 hours with Auburn stuff, having to do War Eagle, whatever, or taking a 10-second video call of the Hogs, 15 seconds.
Yeah.
I don't think that's a bad bet.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see. But again,
hopefully she's a good sport.
Yeah. No, I think she would be. Again, hopefully it will go out today. I already got something texting in the 501, ask her on the date. He said, Arns can't give you any crap after the Fate Hill story, which...
I'm glad you said crap and... inserted the word that
Listen, I'm not that stupid. I know there's words that we could say.
Sometimes you just read what's on the teleprompter, Ron Burgundy.
I know there's words that can be said on...
Thanks for not reading what was on the teleprompter.
So, guys, if you're going to text in stuff...
Yeah, please don't text in words, because the boys' just, head's a mess right now.
Yeah, it's
a mess.
It's in fury. So,
it's in Auburn, Alabama right now.
What I've described this day at 4:30 today... You know the scene in Indiana Jones in The Last Crusade when his dad gets shot and he has to go get the cup of Christ, and because it's the not the covenant of Christ, that's the Ark of the Covenant. Mm-hmm. What's the whatever it is where you can drink
the crystal deal or what? I don't know. It's been 30 years.
What he drinks out
the original
of,
one?
Yeah, what he drinks out of, and that you can be like. And I can't think of what it is, but you know what I'm talking about. And there's the scene. After you have to pass those levels of tests, like the penitent man where he has to bend over and kneel so he doesn't get chopped off by the heads or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then the third process of that, because he has to spell out Jehovah and step on the blocks that won't break. The third process of that, is when he has to just put blind faith in, because you can't see the runway and pass. And so he has to just step his foot out and... Eventually, that's what I'm doing with Orange today at 4:30.
Yeah.
Like, I am stepping my foot out and hoping to God that there is a bridge there. Because otherwise, I'm just going to fall flat on my face and be heartbroken at 4:30. Now, again, there's a reward at the end of the tunnel if Orange is telling me the truth and being truthful with me and doing that. But again, I'm putting, it's the grail, the Holy Grail.
The Holy Grail.
Good grief. So, thank you, Rod.
So, again... All of this is timing up with the second round of golf I've played this year. And I may or may not be a little bit inebriated by then. So I need you to hold it together. I really don't plan on driving back to bail you out. So.
Yeah, Clay and Jenkins might have to do this show tomorrow. Because, again, it's going to be the most anticipated 20 minutes of radio in my entire life. And it's either
even more
be,
than Darren McFadden.
Yeah, even more than Darren McFadden. Oh. But, again, that went good. Like, I was a little nervous, but I was like, yeah. Listen,
second greatest racerback of all time.
Yeah, well, let's don't make me hit you this morning this early.
It's all worth, and then Darren McFadden.
Yeah, so
Joe Klein.
Let's not start on that. So, but yeah, we'll see. There's either going to be good solid radio for 20 minutes, or it's going to be a straight implosion.
No,
so
it's
not going to be anywhere in between.
Win or lose for you, it's going to be fantastic radio for 20 minutes.
Oh, it absolutely is. And listen, the majority of time we like to talk sports and stuff. I know Ruskin and Zach kind of have a different vibe up there, but it's going to be fascinating radio. And I've gotten text in from friends, and it's funny
they have a different vibe.
Yeah, that's the best
probably
way.
Best way to describe it.
The most politically correct way to vibe it. To describe it, it's funny. Like the different variations of text I've gotten from friends is pretty hysterical. Like some friends have texted me in that have found out a bit. This and dude, it's like, dude, you're gonna kill it. Blah blah blah. The others have texted in. It's like, I can't wait to listen to you at 4:30. Make an absolute fool of yourself. It's fun. And listen, guys like to give each other crap more than girls do. And so my friends who have no problem making fun of me to begin with will only up the ante times 1,000. If I blow this today. So that's why you're making fun of me. Or that's why I'm prepping today.
I'm just hoping someday in 18 or 24 months from now, I actually get an invite to the wedding. That's all I'm...
See, let's not
but
do
this
that.
Is where it all starts here
this
today.
This is where it begins. And I can...
This is where every good love story starts.
At least maybe, you know, as I'm rubbing elbows, maybe Bruce Pearl is there or whoever, you know.
Yeah.
Maybe I can, who are you and why are you here?
Exactly.
I can tell the story.
Yeah.
Well, I was here the day that, you know, and
Mama,
I can take it back to the Genesis.
Mama, how did you meet your husband, Daddy?
Well, I mean, I'm not getting that far ahead, but I mean...
Hey, you never know.
You know.
Well, the running joke at the radio station for quite some time is after The Bachelor, many people thought that Madison Pruitt was going to be the next Bachelorette. And when you're on that show, you're gone anywhere from 2 to 3 months. And I was asking Tommy, it's like, Tommy, I might have to apply an audition for the show if I get it. am I good? Is my job going to get
And I said, go ahead. I wasn't really worried.
Yeah,
wasn't
worried. And she didn't end up becoming the Bachelorette. Yeah. So, of course, Tommy didn't have to worry about it. And I didn't have to worry about it getting my heart broken down there. But that was the thing. So, we'll see again. I hope, I don't know if professional is the right word, but I hope I just come across as just a like a happy-go-lucky, good sport type of guy.
See, that's why we wanted to preview your questions. Maybe not all your questions, but just make sure you don't sound like a fool. We care about you.
Well, it's not to say that I won't sound like a fool.
Don't worry. Orange is there to be your wingman.
To guide. Now, here's the thing I'm worried about this.
To lead, guide, and direct.
If the interview's going well, and if like I'm having fun, if she's laughing, if it's a good conversation, I'm not worried so much about Jason Carroll doing it, because I think Jason's going to let it be. I'm worried about Orange saying something that completely deters the interview and throws off my what could be confidence at the time for it going well.
And Jason may have TV cameras there. This could end up on Pig Trail Nation.
It could.
This could be the biggest moment of your career.
It could. So, but again, the only beef I will have today as we close down shop is if she doesn't come on at 4:30. And again, I will apologize on air that Zach will have for the rest of his life, and I'm sorry I doubted it.
So, 4:30 today. I think we're building this could be the biggest audience buildup.
It really could be.
In Arkansas sports radio history.
There needs to be a Facebook Live of this or something.
Yeah, I'm gonna talk to Orange. I got some equipment that I'm going to be bringing about streaming it. So I know that hopefully that will happen. What are you laughing at? Oh. Do I want to stream it?
I'm sitting here wondering. Maybe you want to record it and think about that. I don't know.
An excellent point. So, again, we'll see.
It's kind of like one of them engagement deals. You might want to just kind of see how it goes and then make that call. I don't know.
Oh, man. More of the Morning Rush coming up. 4:30 today. Make sure you tune in.
Your number one source of local news and information you need.
Bud Light Seltzer. 5% ABV and only 100 calories. We'd put it up against any other seltzer out there.